I want to share with you from my heart today a word that I believe that God has placed in my heart. You know, and hopefully every Sunday and every Wednesday, I'm not just coming up with a sermon, but I want to share with you, in the next coming weeks, I'm going to share with you what I call ripe. Everybody say ripe. And I said it, I use this example, it's a good example. I'll use it over and over again because I want to, repetition is the motor of learning. I want us, beginning of the year, to understand where we're going. I am going to try to move the church spiritually to a higher place. And I believe that God has given me a matrix to do that, a system, a plan. And that plan is called RIPE. Everybody say RIPE. God is preparing us that he could use us. My wife makes incredible guacamole. You know what? I'm spoiled now because, you know what? Any other guacamole now just tastes bland to me, and I don't even like it. But she has, when you're making guacamole, you need ripe avocados. Is this not true? So if you have hard avocados, you know what, sometimes we'll go to the grocery store and we'll be trying to, you know what, we want guacamole. But if the avocados aren't ripe, we have to buy the avocados and wait. Okay. Why am I using this example? Because God wants us ripe. God wants us to be able to, he wants to be able to use us. Amen. And I don't know if you know this, but it's interesting because God wants you to be able to use you anytime he wants to be able to use you. In season and out of season. God cursed that fig tree. It wasn't even the season for figs. You ever trip out on that? You read that little detail of it wasn't the season for figs. You're thinking, well, why is Jesus spazzing out on this tree? It's not even time, right? Let me tell you why. He's teaching us something that you ought to be ready. Amen? You ought to always be ripe. You ought to always be ready to be used by God. So here's, and I will tell you right up front, I am not, this sermon is not, you know, patty cake, baker's man. It is not that kind of sermon. It is, I'm going to tell you what's up. I'm going to tell you the truth. It might, for some of you, you might be offended. But I'll remind you what we read this week. Blessed is the one who is not offended at the words of Christ. Amen. Paul writes this. He says, you know what? Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? No. I hope not. But whatever you pick, that's your choice. My choice today is just to lay out what I'm going to lay out for you. Now, RIPE stands for read, invite, pray, and anticipate. Okay? Expect. Yeah, anticipate doesn't start with an E, does it? Okay. I did that Wednesday. Okay, let's try it again. R for read. I for invite. P for pray. And E for expect. Have an expectant attitude. Now, my goal is to get every single person in this church in the next few months reading their Bible every day, inviting. We're going to have a goal where every single one of us is going to invite at least one person every single week. If you look at the numbers, that will be a significant amount of invitations. We will grow significantly if we just do the plan the way God said to do the plan. So we'll invite, we'll pray, and we'll talk about the importance of prayer, and we'll talk about the importance of expectation. That you don't just, that there's something that you're hoping for. There's something that you're not just here, like Kansas said, as dust in the wind. You know what? You're not that way. You're purposeful. And so you are speaking something. You are believing something. You ought to always have something that you're believing for. Well, Pastor, what are you believing for? Right now, I'm believing for $300,000 that we would be able to start our outdoor project. Amen. Okay? That's one of the things I'm believing for. There's some other things I'm believing for. You know, I've got a friend who's on drugs, and I'm believing, and he's very talented, called to God, wonderful musician. I'm believing he's going to get off drugs and come to the Lord. Amen? So, but these are things that if I said, what are you believing for? It ought to be, boom, right out of your mouth. Why? And you ought to expect that even though it's been a long time maybe for some of you, that time doesn't make any difference. God can change anything. Okay, so, but I'm not going to preach any of that right now. I'll give you a chance to go, But wait till I say it. I'm not going to preach any of that right now. I'm going to prepare you for all that. Amen. And what I want to talk today about is obedience. Everybody say obedience. Okay. So I'm going to read you this song first, and then we're going to listen to this crazy song. Okay? Okay. It's called Stupid. It's called Stupid. Let me read you the words. I don't care what the talk is. Ain't sure what the truth is. Don't want to overthink a kiss, yeah. I just know when it feels right, I just miss what you feel like. We can add this up when the sun shines, but tonight, I just want to be stupid. Hello? I don't want things to make sense. I don't want to be right. Don't want to move on. Don't want to waste time. Don't want to be strong. I want to be reckless and a little bit dangerous. Don't want to be shy. Don't want to hold back. Don't want to be cool. Don't want to be proud. I just want to be stupid with you. How many know sometimes we can be stupid? I said, how many know we can be stupid? Okay. And there's part of us that sometimes, but I don't want you to be stupid. Because let me tell you what, there's a lot at stake at this beginning of the year. And I'm going to talk hard to you. I'm going to talk honest with you. You know what? But I'm believing that you don't want, who doesn't want to be stupid today? Okay. I'm going to show you some things in the Word of God that God has laid on my heart. And I want to go over some things with you today. How many are ready for this? God, help me in the name of Jesus by your supernatural power to speak your truth in love. May we have hearts to receive today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so the sermon title is, How Much Does God Want? How much does God want? How much does God want? And of course, the answer is simple. My first point, number one point, God wants all of you. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, starting with verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? Now, this first question is really important for us to think about. Because he's asking, you know what he's asking? How do I get to heaven? Eternal life. How do I make sure that I'm going to live with you forever? How many want to hear the answer to that question? That's a good question, is it not? And how many know you can't get better theology than Jesus? So, are you willing to hear what Jesus has to say to you today? Because I'm telling you, the response isn't going to be probably what you think the response is going to be. Remember the original question we ask, how much does God want? Well, let's see how much God wants. So he said to him, why do you call me good? First of all, he wants to be upfront with this guy because I believe he knows this guy's just trying to buffalo him. Amen. You know, try to smooth him. You know what I mean? Trying to, ooh, you're so. And how many know God's not fooled with your pretense? I said, how many know God's not fooled by your pretense? God sees everything's going on. You know what? And he sees your attitudes. He sees our attitudes. And what, you know what? there's one passage in Matthew, and Jesus is talking, prophetically talking about the end. And he's talking about him separating the goats from the sheep. And the when he separates them out, the goats say, everybody say, say. The goats say, but Lord, didn't we do this and do that and do this? And they have this whole list. Well, first of all, God doesn't focus on what they're saying. Here's what he says. Depart from me, you doers, everybody say doers, of iniquity. See, God doesn't care what you say. He's observing who you are. And who you are isn't what you say, it's what you do. Are you catching this? That is good, isn't it? So I'm telling you, that's what this guy's doing. And God, I want you to notice, God's not moved by what he says. He is going to deal with the heart issue. And in the same way, he doesn't listen to what you say. He is going to deal with your heart issue, not the mask, not the pretense in which you come and I come. Hello? Have you ever thought you're doing something right and the Holy Spirit starts to reveal your motive of why you're really doing that? Hello? Okay. So he says, you know what? Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life. So I told you, Jesus wasn't going to answer it the way you thought he was going to answer it. How many know Jesus' theology is right? Listen to me, all eyes up here. Don't think that you're going to correct Jesus' theology. Here, Jesus' theology, your theology. I pick Jesus. Amen? What was the answer? How do I have eternal life? What was the question? How do I have eternal life? What's the answer? Here's what Jesus says the answer is. But if you want to enter the kingdom of life, keep the commandments. But God, but Pastor, see, you're going to try to change my mind because of years of false doctrine that you've been taught. And you're not going to change my mind. Because I know what the answer is. The answer is, you want to go to heaven? Keep the commandments of God. You say, but Pastor, that's law. We're under grace. I'm smiling, right? Okay, smarty pants. Then why did Jesus say what he said? I mean, put that in your purse and swing it. Now, just relax. Because I'm going to show you the answer, how it all comes together in a little bit. Having said that, no, go back. Having said that, Jesus' answer is right here. This is the answer. That is the answer. Amen. I said amen. Amen. That is the answer. Now, let's move on. And he said to him, which ones? Do you see where this guy's at? No. Which ones? See, we ask the wrong question, we get the wrong answer. Which ones? And he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Watch this. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth." How many believe that? Okay. If you believe that, I got some land in Florida I want to sell you at the church. Listen, just because you say it doesn't mean it is. Okay, let's move on. What do I lack? Oh, now that is a, guys, don't jump ahead of me. That is a good question. That is a good question. And I'm asking today, who's got the integrity to ask that question to Jesus? Did you come to church or did you come to change? Because that is, listen, that's a bad dude who can ask that question. So I'm asking you before we get started. Do you have the integrity to ask God at the beginning of this year what you lack? Because and before you say before you say yes, understand this. God has the integrity to tell you the answer. So he will tell you the answer. And once he tells you the answer, you're going to be held accountable for knowing the answer. Now let me ask, how many want to know what you lack? Because if you want to know, you know what? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. The Bible says, but let me just tell you what. Those of you who are thinking, oh, I'm not going to ask. You know what I mean? Let me just tell you what. The Bible says, my children die from a lack of knowledge. Your lack of knowledge is not, a lack of knowledge isn't, you know, you're not going to be excluded because you chose to put your head in the sand concerning sin and stuff going on in your heart. You know what? Just because you put your hands over your head and mom, I can't hear you. You know what I mean? Just because you do that doesn't mean you're not going to be accountable for what God is telling you. Can somebody say amen? But it does take some integrity to ask this question. What do I still lack? Next verse. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor. Okay? Now, before you get all self-righteous and go, yeah, but nobody's perfect. Well, let me just ask you this. Why do you keep on saying that? That's a good question, huh? Could it be you keep on, you know what? Does it irritate moms and dads? Does it irritate you when your kids want to know how far can they go sexually and still be okay with God? Do you like that kind of question? You're like, oh, that's so awesome they asked that. Or does that infuriate you that they want to see how close they can get to the line without crossing the line? I'm asking you. See, here's my thing. Here's what I recognize what's going on when we say, yeah, but nobody's perfect. Jesus said in another passage, he said, be ye perfect as our heaven, or as my Father in heaven is perfect. See, we're empowered with the same Holy Spirit as that raised Jesus from the dead. So we need to not... We need to stop. Here's what the Bible says. Give no place to the flesh. We give the flesh way too much wiggle room. Amen? Okay. And understand the question. The original question is, what must I do to get into heaven for eternal life? Now watch this. If you want to be perfect, here's what you lack. He's going to answer the question. Here's what you lack. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Did you notice that there? I'm not saying this theologically. So don't pin me down. But when there's a couple of thoughts on this, but one thought is maybe Jesus prophetically was preparing for the 12th apostle that was going to be lost when Judas denied him. You say, but didn't the apostles do that? Well, wait a minute. You've got to rightly divide the word of truth. Just because something's in the Bible doesn't mean it was right. Hello? Yeah, but they said they did that. They are saying that, let's do this to fulfill that prophecy. I'm not saying they were wrong. I don't know. I'm just saying, could it be? All I'm noticing is Jesus is giving the same command that he gave Peter, that he gave John, that he gave Matthew, right? Do you see that? Okay. And here's what happens. Look what happens. Next verse. But when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Okay. Here's what I want to say. I'm going to say some things in the next weeks that I want you to do. I don't want you to think about it. I don't want to go, oh, I'm going to. For instance, I want everyone who comes to this church to read a chapter a day, just one chapter a day, not whatever chapter you want. You can read whatever chapter you want, but I want you to read the chapter that we're on right now. We're in where? Luke. See, some of you know, oh, I don't know. Well, okay, you don't know, but now you know, okay? What's the scripture today? Everybody say Luke 14. January, it's easy to remember it because tomorrow is, what's the date tomorrow? 15th. Guess what chapter I want you to read tomorrow? Luke 15. That's all I want you to do. But listen, I'm going to say I want all of us to do what God's asking us to do. Everybody say do. You know why Noah saved his family? Here's why. Because he did what God told him to do. Amen. See? You did say you didn't want to be stupid, right? That's right. You don't want to sing this song, do you? You're not, say, I'm not like that guy. I mean, you know what? I want to be stupid. You know what I mean? I don't want things that make sense. I don't want to be right. I don't want to move on. Don't want to waste time. Don't want to be strong. I want to be reckless. Hey, I've been stupid enough. Amen. I don't want to be stupid anymore. I'm telling you, I'm going to instruct you on some basic things that we could be right. I want everybody praying a little bit every day. I want everybody reading together. I want everybody inviting. I want us as a church to start to be unified and see the power of coming under, listen to me, the direct, let me just tell you, I'm minding my own business. Last week, I'm kind of asleep. I'm almost asleep. And I had just preached the importance of reading. Everybody say reading. And I saw that R. I saw it. And then all of a sudden, right after that R, I wasn't thinking of invite. I wasn't thinking of that. But right in my spirit, I saw I. I didn't even know what the I was going to stand for. And immediately, I got invite. And then the next thing I saw P. I didn't even know what is the Holy Spirit writing here. He didn't say ripe. I didn't know what it was going to come out to be. But next thing I know, I saw the P, and I knew immediately, that's for pray. And then the E was for, what's E for? Expect. And it came together, I mean, in a matter of a second and a half, he just downloaded all that to me. And he said, you know what? Start to be honest with the church, and start to be honest with them and tell them, hey guys, here's what I said Wednesday. The train is leaving the station. I'm going to show you some passages of scripture that you read, hopefully this week, that are just are just crazy. And we read these and we don't even understand. God is warning us. But he warns us, the train is leaving the station. The only question is, will you be on board or will you not? Will you be on board or will you not? Well, I don't have to. Are you saying I got to do what you say or I won't be saved? It's not what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. I'll say it like this. You need to do what the Holy Spirit has laid out as instructed by me to you as your overseer to be in unity for us to be effective. I'll say it like that. And let me say this. And you will be held accountable for saving Pico Rivera just as much as me. You will be accountable for getting Pico Rivera saved just as much as me. Amen. So we read this passage and we think, all eyes up here. We think, whoosh, man, I'm glad God didn't ask me of that. I'm glad he didn't ask me to sell everything I had and give it to the poor. Okay, here, listen to me. Wrong amundo. That's where you're wrong. Because let me tell you what. Here's what God is asking of you. Remember the question? What do I lack? This guy, he was selfish, and he lacked a generosity. And God is going to nail him and say, this is what you must do. Now listen to me. Some of you, that's your problem. You sit here week after week, month after month, year after year, and you thank God that Fred and Aline are faithful to the tithe. But for some reason, you think that you're excluded to it. Now, let me tell you your logic, most people's logic. Here's the logic. But Pastor, God knows my heart, which he does know your heart. The problem is you won't look at your heart. And so instead of inventorying how much you make, figuring out what a tenth is, bringing it into the storehouse with the happy, hilarious heart, it doesn't belong to you. Instead of doing that, you justify that you're, well, Pastor, here's my problem. And you think it's because you don't have enough money. Listen, that is the point of the tithe. The point of the tithe is to get you uncomfortable, watch this, out of your comfortableness of you depending on your own ability to take care of you and stepping into a uncomfortableness of now you need supernatural help. That is the point. And we are all responsible to that. You say, but Pastor, that's not, I'm faithful to the tithe. I not only tithe, but I give above the tithe. Okay. All right. That's not your thing. But this isn't you. Here's what God's going to say to you. If that's not your thing. And let me just say this. To many people, if I had to say what is one of the main issues in America, that's it. Wow. That is it. It's a selfishness that we have learned to spend every penny on ourselves. And now that is a system. And we look at the pastor and we get in his face for telling us the truth. That is the main issue with most people that come into church. Okay. Having said that, maybe that's not your issue. Here's what I'm saying to you. If it is, don't play dodgeball anymore. Make 2018 a different year. The train is leaving the station. catch it while you can. And recognize, if you could catch it whenever you felt like catching it, then the prophet in the Old Testament wouldn't have said, seek the Lord while he can be found. Is somebody still glad they're here today? You say, but Pastor, that's not me. I'm faithful. I not only tithe, but I give offerings and I give alms to the poor. Praise God. Amen. Here's what I want to ask. What is your deal? What do you lack? Because here's the deal. I don't know what room you have in your spiritual life that is a mess. I don't know if it's the garage. I don't know if it's kitchen. For all I know, it's just your whole house is neat, except you got a drawer. Amen? How many got a drawer at home? Okay. I'm not talking about spiritual now. How many got a drawer at home? Okay. Okay. How many got a room at home? See, some of you don't want to raise your hand on that one. Okay. Okay. How many got a house at home? Amen. Okay. That's between you and God. Here's what I'm saying. Spiritual, I don't care if it's your whole house. I don't care if it's a room. I don't care if it's your garage. I don't even care if it's a drawer. Here's what I know. When Jesus comes in your house, guess where he wants to go? Here's where he wants to go. He wants to address that drawer, that room. Here's why. Because that's what you lack. See, if your problem is lust, men and ladies now, because the statistics say that now many of the people getting on the internet and watching pornography are ladies. It just is what it is. But that's still predominantly men. Men, if that's your issue, here's what God is drawing to today. That's where he's going. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants that very thing that you want to hide and cover up and act like, no, I'm good. I'm good. He knows what's really going on, and that's what he wants to go to. How much does God want? He wants 100% of you. He wants it all. Everybody say he wants it all. And we go like this, oh, I'm glad he asked that, but he doesn't. No. You're not dividing the word of truth accurately. Why do you think that's in the scripture? The Bible says the scripture is all scripture is God breathed. Help me out, Jonathan. It's useful for training. Instruction in righteousness. What's that there for? Well, that was a real story, so he's dealing with that man. But it gets put in the scripture to speak to you today. And God is saying, whatever your issue is, that's the issue I'm going after. Are you learning something today? Okay. Second point. Okay. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't want to be stupid. Second point. Real Christianity isn't about rules. It's about lordship. I'm going to say that again. I want it to soak in. Because you get so quick to say, no, that's bad theology. Jesus is teaching bad theology. Can you believe we think this? Jesus isn't teaching about theology. The issue isn't rules. Jesus is saying, guys, what I'm telling you, you need to do what I tell you to do. It's not about rules. It's about who's your king. I'm going to give you a way better chance to say amen, because that is a great revelation. It's not about rules. It's about lordship. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's about, I'm smarter than you. You know what? I created you. Do what I tell you to do. Amen. It's about kingship. And the reason why we want to go and start some crazy grace The reason we would want to throw a grace theology up there in God's face and argue with Jesus, it has to do with our unwillingness to give it all up for God, to do whatever he says, to recognize he's smarter than us, and to say, you know, no, God, say, no, I want this different Christianity. And we've come up with a different kind of Christianity. It's not Christianity at all. It's a Christianity that says, yes, I go to church. Listen to me, because you're in church today. Yes, I go to church, but I sit wherever I want to sit. I give wherever I want to give. I serve when I want to serve. Listen, I know what God's saying. I know what Pastor you're saying, but you got to understand, you know what? God's not about rules. It's about grace. I can do whatever I want to do. Well, I would say it's not about rules, but you cannot call him Lord. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then I tell you to do something and you don't do it? And in that same passage, he's dealing with these, he's giving the revelation, in the day, the judgment day, you're going to be on the wrong side. I said, you're going to be on the wrong side. I said, you're going to be on the wrong side. And anybody's going to be on the wrong side who said with their mouth, Jesus is my Lord, but with their actions, they just ran their life however they wanted to run it. That's not Christianity. I said, that's not Christianity. Are you still glad you came to church Sunday? That's not Christianity. But that's what we have come up with. And I'm saying, we are going to be held responsible for being ripe. And I'm asking every person that can hear me to get in line with reading your Bible every day, praying, inviting somebody, and having an attitude of expectation. Yeah. I'm saying, as your pastor, I'm saying that I don't think this is a good idea. This to me is not optional. This is what I hear God saying to us that we are to do together. Yeah. Amen. My third point. Oh, no. Let's look at some passages on this. Matthew chapter 19, it's 17. Look at what it says. So he said to them, why do you call me good? Oh, why did I come there? Go to 1 John. You guys have this in the back. Go to 1 John. Actually, go back to 19:17, guys. I know why I went there. And he said to them, why do you call me good? There's no one good. But if you want to enter the kingdom of God, keep the commandments. I wanted to reiterate that. Everybody say, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. You want to go to heaven? Here's what God says. Here's what Jesus said. Keep my commandments. Okay. Now watch this, because I'm going to put it all together. I'm going to make it sense for you. I already made sense for you. It's not about rules. It's about lordship. But let me give you a scripture on that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God. See, how many know you ain't going to get to heaven without loving God? See, that's where we're going to go, no. It's about love, Pastor. You got to love God. Okay, I would say, you're right, of course. Love. What's the first commandment? What's the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. What's the second commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. If you do those two things, that's all you have to do. Because Jesus said, if you do those two, everything else you're going to fulfill. Yeah. So we go there. Well, it's not about rules. It's about love. All right. Well, listen. You got to do something about that text. You have to do something about that text. Because Jesus said, if you want eternal life, you got to obey the commandments. You can't just throw that out there. You can't just get rid of that. And let me tell you about the word. It all fits together. We don't need to gloss over that and go, well, I think Jesus was a little off that day. He didn't understand grace. How many know Jesus understood grace? Stop being, it's like, man, some of our thinking is crazy wrong. Jesus was not wrong. Well, how do you put it together? Thank you. John helps me. For this, well, I already put it together. It's about lordship. For this is the love of God. This is how you love God. Watch this. That we keep his commandments. And here's the clue. And his commandments are not burdensome. That's right. Amen. See, why do you think a loving God is telling you something that's going to be negative toward you? That is craziness. No, let me tell you a reality. God's ways are higher than your ways. God is smarter than you. So stop resisting what God is telling you to do. Stop resisting that. Recognize God's wisdom, his intelligence. Get on board. Just do what he tells you to do. Do it quickly and recognize that his commandments. Listen, the problem is, you know what the sermon title was originally? This look, I got it crossed out. You know what the sermon title was originally? How much will this cost me? Look at your neighbor and say, that is a dumb sermon title. See, some of you don't even know why it's a dumb sermon title. Let me tell you why it's a dumb sermon title. Because that is the wrong question. How much will this cost me? That is the wrong question. That comes from a viewpoint that God isn't a good God. It comes from a viewpoint that you're smarter than God, that you know how to run your life better than God knows how to run your life. How much will that cost me? Oh my, do I need to sing the stupid song again? See, how many of you, I'm just asking, how many of you were stupid? You know what? And you did what this guy said. You know what? I want to be stupid. I don't want to make sense. I don't want to be right. How many of your parents told you what was right and what was wrong? Later on in this song, he says, your eyes gave it all up. Let's see what they're made of. Don't have to fall back into love. You know what he's talking. He's about sleeping with this girl. I don't gotta love you. I don't gotta fall in love with you. I want to be reckless. That's what he says. Sometimes you just need a good time. Some hearts just need to rewind. We're too young, we're too high, we're too dumb not to be blind and stupid. I'm just asking, how many of you have been too high, too dumb, too young, you know what? And you just wanted to be stupid. I'm asking. Wow. Thank you for your honesty. That was before. But I'm asking, how many of you were at that place? Here's what I'm saying. Let's move on. Because, yeah, you were at that place, but we need to get out of that place. We need to stop having the title be, how much is this going to cost me? Wrong question. You're indicting the character of God. God isn't a bad God. God isn't trying to keep blessings from you. These crazy things that we're holding on to are the very things that are causing our life to be ruined. It's a dumb title, and I crossed it out because I recognized that's the wrong question. How much is this going to cost you? You know what's a real question? How much is this going to cost you if you're not obedient to God? Yeah. That's the question. Yeah. Amen? The question is, the sermon title is, how much does God want? Here's the question. He wants all of you, and we should be ready to give it all up
because his ways are higher than our ways. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you ready for some more?
Yes.
Well, let's just go to what we learned this week. I hope you were reading this week, Luke. Let's just see what God says to us in Luke. My third point, I'll say this quickly. How much is it going to cost me? Wrong question. Going back to 1 John 5:3, his commandments are not burdensome. Stop thinking his commandments are burdensome. That is what John says in this same letter. He says, don't be in love with the world or the things of the world. Let's not be stupid. Well, let's just look at, guys, you got to flow with me in the back. just look at some passages. Look at Psalms 18:30. Look up here on the screen because this is the NIV version. You guys got that, right? Okay, look at this. As for God, his way is perfect. How much is it going to cost me? Ridiculous question. His ways are perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. When God gives you a word, when he tells you to do something, it's flawless. When God told Noah, build it this high, this long, this wide, the Navy went in and they did all this research, hundreds of thousands of dollars to research and find out what configuration of ship was the most buoyant. Guess what numbers they came up with? The exact same dimensions as the ark was built.
Pastor, in the Bible, that's just coincidence.
You know what? Recognize God is real. Come on. Stupid people. As for God, his ways are perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. Now watch this. He shields all. Yes, hallelujah. Praise God. It's not what it says. He does not shield all. He shields all who take refuge in him. How do I take refuge in him? I say, God, I'm going to do exactly what you say. I don't care how much it's going to cost me. I don't care what you told me. I will give what you told me to give. I will say what you told me to say. I will speak what you told me to speak. I will forgive because you've told me to forgive. I am a follower of Christ. That's who I am. Are you learning something? Now let's just look at some passages. You know what? John, guys, flow with me. John chapter 6, starting with verse 59. And let me read this to you. Starting with verse 59. These things he said in the synagogues as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this is a hard saying. This is what they said. This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Listen. Does it offend you when I tell you you need to forgive? Because God says you need to forgive. Does it offend you when I say the 10% doesn't belong to you? God says that. Does it offend you that I tell you that you ought to be sweet to your husbands, wives? Honor them? Does that offend you? Because of all the foolish things your husband's done and you're convinced in your mind because of his carnality, that you don't have to honor him? Let me tell you, ladies, that's not true. God doesn't say you have to honor your husband because he's so spiritual. God does tell you to speak the things that are not as though they are. The Bible does tell you that love believes all things. That's what the Bible says to you. Does that offend you that I tell you that? Well, let's Let's read what we read this week. Is somebody learning something today? What did we learn this week? Look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And look what Jesus said in verse 33. We read this just this week. 14. Oh, today. Well, that's not what I was looking for then, but we'll get to that in a minute. Let's go to Luke 7. Luke 7 and verse 23. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Listen, you can take your purse and your wallet and leave. And be offended at me. Be upset with me. You can do that. But understand, I'm not telling you anything except that I've seen in the Word of God. Hello, somebody. So we got all kinds of Christians who come into church, and we have pastors, few of them, who have the integrity to just lay it on the line and just tell you the truth. And then people leave the church. I said, and then people leave the church. People leave the church because, because they don't like worship. People leave the church because they don't, you know what, because somebody offended them. Hey, well, welcome to Christianity. Amen. Welcome to life. Well, what do you want? Oh, excuse me. We'll make a church for you. And we'll come and we'll sit you right in the middle and tell everybody else to stay home. Why does everybody else need to stay home? Because let me tell you why everybody else needs to stay home. Because they're all imperfect. They're all jacked up. They're all dealing with stuff. And when they come, in a course of time, they're going to rub against you and they're going to bump against you with their carnality. And instead of having maturity to recognize you, God called you here, you get upset and you go home and you stay at home. Or you go to some other church where you're not called. And you go, oh, they made me mad. You know, I've told them they should have done it like this. And I told them, now I don't know why I just didn't like that. Listen, you can be offended and you can go.
I don't think this message is getting very spiritual, man. It seems like you're just.
Well, let me tell you how spiritual this is. We need to not be people who only can listen to the cutesy things. Amen? Amen? See, blessed is the person who is not offended. And let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is going to tell you some stuff that is going to offend you. Stop being offended. Stop being offended. Man up. Recognize. No, God loves you. These things should not be offensive to you. You ought to raise, you know what? The Bible says that the chastisement of God doesn't seem good at first. Amen? Okay, well, just hang on to your purse, ladies. Because in the course of time, if you are not offended, blessed is he. Blessed is he if you're not offended. All right, now we'll look at the passage. Are you getting this? Yeah. Now let's look at the passage we read today. See, why are we reading our Bible? Because it starts to affect you, and now you can come to church, and when you hear something, you go, I read. Blessed is the man who's not offended. Jesus said in this passage, he says, my words are spirit, and my words are life. I'm trying to give you stuff that's going to help you in your daily walk. Now let's go to what we read. Luke chapter 14 and look at verse 33. We read this today. Georgie prayed this today. It was awesome. Inspired me. So likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Pastor, that's a hard thing. Well, here's what Jesus says to you. You don't like it? Leave. You don't like it? Leave. You don't believe me? Read John chapter 6. All those people are leaving. You know why they left? Here's why. Because he said a hard thing to them. Man, this is hard. I'm going to another church. Fine. But let me tell you what. You will reap what you sow. And you can go to another church. You know what? But that ain't going to change what God is speaking to you. See, here's what you can do. You can stay in this church. But you can go away the same way that you came in. And you can come back and nothing has changed. And you can listen to my words about telling you, you need to read your Bible every day. You need to pray. You need to start inviting people. You need to become a tither. You know what? You need to have expectation. That's, you need to do that. And you can come and act the same way that you've acted before. I'm just telling you what. What did that man do? He went away sorrowful. Listen to me. You being convicted of sin doesn't make you righteous. It doesn't make you repent. You know what repent, here, all eyes up here. You know what repent means? You're doing something like this, you're walking this way, you hear from God, and you do this. You turn around, and you, listen, it's not just turning around. It's, watch this, it's changing your mind, it's changing how you think, and you start going in God's direction. Here's, now you're doing something different, but it started with you changing your mind. You have got to, one of the things that I'm hearing God say, is pastor, he's speaking to me, as pastor of this church, you've got to start to instruct people what to do and not be so timid in instructing them to do that. Hello. Are you learning something today? How many are still glad you came? Okay. So here's what I'm, here, let me give you an instruction. Let me see how glad you are. So, I've already instructed this Wednesday. I instructed this Wednesday, but I'm going to instruct it again. Here's what I want. I want you sitting, and if you're here for the first time, I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. Here's what I want. I want you to come in next week. And so like you two, I don't want you to sit there. You know where I want you to sit? If there is a seat in front of you, I want you to take that seat. Amen? I want you to sit here. And I want all you in this row. And I want it, and here's what I want. And I don't want to ask you again. I don't want to have to keep on saying the same stuff over and over and over again. And I come up here and I think, listen to me, somebody. Here's what I think. And that goes to every single one of you in the last row. Love you. Stop sitting in the back row. And the second row, stop sitting in the second of the back row. If there's a seat in front of you, take it until all the front row is cleared, all the second row. And here's what I said to the people who came to prayer. If there's two seats there, if there's one seat there, then you tell your son to sit there and start to fill this row up. Now, here's what I want to say. I'm just asking. Do you think that's a hard thing? I'm just asking. Or is that relatively? Or is that an easy thing? See, here's what I want to say. How in the world are we going to be able to move in the hard things that God is going to ask us if we can't even obey our pastor in the most simplest things that he asks? You say, Pastor, are you kidding me? I've never been to a church where the pastor was that forceful. And so it's like, aren't you embarrassed? And let me tell you, no. I'm embarrassed for the church. That's the truth. I'm embarrassed for the church. But here's what I hear the Holy Spirit say. Continue to press. And he's already reassured me. Don't worry. If people leave, they're going to leave. But what's going to happen? Let me say prophetically what's going to happen. But what's going to happen is God is going to start to, listen, go back to the passage in Psalms. Here's what's going to happen. And here's what God has reassured me. Here's what's going to happen as a church. We are going to start, because here's what's happening. We're not in unity. In the simplest things, we're not in unity. You know what I want? I want people, when they come in, I want people who've been going to this church for 5, 6, 7, 8 months, years, to start to be directed by me. And I want the people for the first time, when they come in, I'm just asking, where are the best seats for the first time people? You think first time people want to sit here? You think first time people want to sit here? No, you know where they want to sit? They want to sit back there. So what I want to do is I want to give them those seats. Now, let me teach you one more thing. When you come into a church and the front row is packed, and the second row is packed, and the third row is packed, in your mind, two things are going to happen. One, you're walking in the unity of what I've asked to do. And the Bible says when the people are united, the anointing flows from the top to every single part. How many know that passage? But something else is going to happen. There's going to be this unity that happens, and the anointing is going to flow. And then the second thing that's going to happen is these people coming in for the first time, they're going to trip out. Because most of the churches they go to, the back rows are filled and the front rows are empty. How many know a picture tells 1,000 words? And to every person that comes in, they're going to go. Now, let me tell you what this is for. Let me ask this first. How many know I would rather have you on the front row than the last row? How many know that? Raise your hand if you know that. Okay. See what I'm talking about? You know. It's not you don't know. Now watch this. But what's going to happen is when that happens, they're going to come in and they're going to trip out. Because every row in the front is going to be filled. And then every second row. And then every third row. And there's not going to be empty seats until we get to the fourth and fifth row. And you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to fill those rows. Amen. And in your mind, the word should have such importance. You say, but why do you want us in the front row? Well, I'll teach it to you again. Because Jonathan has less distractions than Lydia. Why? Because he's closer. There's nobody in between him and me. You know what the Bible says? Hey, shh. Stop it. You're not in charge. Amen. Trust your pastor. Amen. I know some things. I don't know everything, but I know some stuff. Here's what I know. The Bible said, you know when Satan comes to steal the word? Now. And he will use anything. So you, as a follower of Christ, need to be distinct and on purpose. This is the only thing. This is the only thing that's going to get you over. This. And if you think this is about where you're sitting, you're absolutely right. But there's much more importance than where you're sitting. It's about the unity. It's about where God is going to take us as a church. It's about the spiritual growth of this church and me starting to hold you accountable to not just come week after week after week, but to become doers of the word, not just hearers. Let me ask you again. You think asking you where to sit, is that a hard thing or a simple thing? It's a simple thing. And you ought to be quick to do it and happy to do it and understand what's going to happen when we start doing it. And we're going to start reading our Bible every day. And we're going to start inviting people to our church. And we're going to start praying every day. And we're going to start having expectation. And God is going to move this church in all the things that we've been hoping and believing and saying. God is saying, that's when I'm going to do it. So stop looking away and not and just acting like people aren't in rebellion. Start to call them out on it. And if they leave, then they leave. Now how many are still glad you came today? I'm asking. Hey, you can judge me any way you want. Lord knows I love you with all my heart. That's the truth.
It's interesting because if you look at the Word of God, whether or not there's power and the miraculous and a move of God, it's not so singular. You know what? It takes us as a body, you know what, obeying God's Word. If all the power, you know, it talks about the power coming, is that scripture, this is crazy. 4 o'clock in the morning, I got up, and by 4:30, I had all texted out something that the Lord had laid on my heart for someone. And then I was kind of going to wait. I went to go get a cup of coffee so I could wait, you know, for a more reasonable time to send that text. And the Lord said, no, send it right now. And I thought, okay. Well, I'll do that. But it was out of my comfort zone, you know what I mean, to text someone at 4:30 in the morning. But I had something to say, but then the scripture that I quoted was this scripture in Psalms about unity and the critical importance of it. God's word's the same always. It never changes. That's been there, you know what, for the last 20 years. And for 20 years before that. And so the fact that the Spirit of God is calling our attention to it, you know what? He's bringing some correction to us. God corrects those whom he loves. And just because we're not doing God's word, it doesn't change what God's word said. I said in level 5, when I teach level 5, because it's interesting, we're kind of talking about this, but what I asked the class, what is the difference between law and obedience? What's the difference between that? And I asked them, because we got a lot of believers in here right now, how many of you have heard as a believer, well, we're not under the law. How many of you have heard that somewhere in your walk? Whether it's to you personally or you hear people talking about it, but you've heard that in Christian circles. Well, we're not under the law. You know what I found out? Usually people who say that are people who are justifying not doing something that the Word tells them to do. And there's a truth that we're not under the law. But we're under something greater than the law. The law didn't get negated. Help me out. When Jesus said, remember they were questioning him, and he's like, well, so-and-so, I think it's Moses they were quoting. Moses said this, but what do you say? You know what I mean? And if you look at that text, I don't know where that is, if someone knows, shout it out so I can tell everyone. If you look at that text, what Jesus says is a higher calling than what the law was. So when you say we're not under the law, true, you're on a higher calling than that, which means the minimum that you would do at this point is to fulfill the law. I don't know if that's where. Is that it? Matthew 5:31, he says.
And he goes on with swearing falsely and a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff. So Matthew 5:31. You can look at it when you get home. I heard one of my favorite preachers say this, and I thought it was great. It kind of brings it back. We don't like these things. They're uncomfortable, but it brings it right back home for us. He said, you know what? Let me just tell you something. He said, if your kids are asking you in the morning, are we going to church today? He said, I'm telling you right now, you're doing the wrong thing. You are all wrong. And I sat and I thought about it, and I, of course, you know what I mean? Of course. Why is that? Well, because we don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. And so if in your household it's, are we going to or aren't we going to, what that's, are we going to obey God today? Or are we going to do what we want to do today? That's really what the children are asking you as a parent in the home. And you can take that to every other thing, that things that we know that we as believers should be doing, but we, I don't know, we just disregard it as if. I'll never forget, I want to say this in the context of a day like today, which what is a day like today? A day like today is where we're sobering up and we're asking ourselves some questions about the way that we're conducting our life as a believer. We're taking stock. You know what? Am I giving Jesus lordship in my life? And am I doing it, you know what? Am I getting more and more lordship all the time in the places, you know what? Because we're all growing in stuff, and God is dealing with us on stuff, and we clean up something, and he moves us to something else. Believe me, he keeps on moving you. But there's many people in this room. I'll never forget one church service over in the North Sanctuary one time when the Spirit of God said, get up and say this and address that. And it was all concerning lust. And it was way in the, we talk about lust all the time now. You don't want to know why? Because our society shoves it down everybody's throat 24/7. And if we don't start talking about it, you know what I mean? Because did I say that what the word says today, it said that 20 years ago? And did I say that it said it 20 years before that? And so on and so on and so on. God's word isn't changing. And so just because society does and says what it says and does, it doesn't change what God says. And that we're his people. And that we honor him with our lives. So on this particular day, you know what, we had a real heyday over there, and this man, I was outside, a couple days later, outside here in the parking lot, just coming in, and this man was walking, and I think he wasn't just walking by, I think he actually came to the church, and he said, hey, I was getting out of my car, and he said, I was mad at you, you know what, and I said, oh, you know what, and he said, no, I'm serious. He said, you really ticked me off on Sunday. I said, oh. And then he said, but, you know, I've taken the last few days and the Spirit of God has just really done something with that girl. And he said, thank you. I said, you are welcome. You are welcome. I cannot tell you how many phone calls I got from that morning over there. I cannot tell you how uncomfortable that morning was. I remember Pastor Drew and I had a lunch, we only had one service then, and we had a lunch appointment after service. And so service end, it was like super quiet in there. Like you could have heard a little pin drop on the carpet because everyone was just shocked at what took place that morning. And so service ended, amen, you are dismissed, you know what I mean? We didn't have, you know, the food or anything. Everyone was like, everyone was gone. You know what? Pastor Drew's like, you ready to go? I'm like, I'm ready. I threw my purse on my shoulder. We got in the car. It's quiet. Nobody's saying nothing. you know what, our kids were there, so I thought, okay, well, probably, you know what, and I'm really nervous because I'm thinking, boy, what is he thinking right now? You know what I mean? Because it was a whopper of a day. And we got to lunch, we got right to the lunch, and then we had lunch with the people, and then we got back in the car, and we drove home and got the kids all inside and everything, and then we got back to our bedroom, and it's all quiet. I said, okay, you want to just address the elephant in the room? I mean, you know what I mean? Would you just say something? And Pastor said, I trust the leading of the Spirit. If that's what you felt like the Holy Spirit, he goes, I trust you. I said, okay. Did anyone say anything to you? And he said, nope. He said, did anyone say anything to you? I said, nope. Next morning, we're in morning prayer. Remember this? And all of a sudden, my phone is like, ding, 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 ding. And all these texts just came flowing in with all kinds of people saying, thank you. It is an important thing. What is a shepherd's job? To lead the sheep, to prepare the sheep, to make sure that the truth has been given to you, so the truth of the Word of God, so that you can be sure that you're loving Jesus. Why do you say that you love me but you don't obey me? He doesn't even know what to do with all that. And it's like, it's on tilt, you know, like, really? Don't tell me you love me, but then you don't. Really, what it comes down to, guys, is trusting him. Don't tell me that you love me, but you don't even trust me to know that I have your best interest. So, receive today with gladness, you know what, and let the Holy Spirit just do his work. And you hear him, and you say, yes, Lord. Okay, because he's dealing with all kinds of people in all kinds of areas right now. And do not resist him. Because here's what happens. When we hear God's truth, and we just shove it aside anyway and ignore it, what ends up happening is we harden our heart. You will be changed today leaving here. It's a matter of whether you're going to be changed towards God in a closer relationship with him, becoming more like him, or whether you're going to be changed just a step further away from him. But you are dead. Don't be deceived that you're going to leave here and just move forward like you used to yesterday, because that's not how it goes down. You either receive what the Holy Spirit has said, or you resist him. And when you resist him, you harden your heart. And so we are getting closer and closer and closer to this whole thing wrapping up. And so all the more, what does the Lord tell us? All the more that we come together, you know what? That we don't forsake the gathering of ourselves together, and that we are just, you know what, about our Father's business. You know what I mean? All the more that we're just taking stock of who we are and that we're ready. Amen? Amen. Amen.